All right, it is the fourth and final hour of the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group, now offering telemedicine. David Johnston and Logan Booker along with you. It is our final hour of the final day of the week. And I almost said the final Friday of May, but it's actually not. Next Friday is the final Friday.
Now, usually when you roll into Memorial Day, that would be an accurate statement.
Yeah.
But we got an early one this year.
That's right. That's right.
Looking forward to the weekend, though.
We'll be full on Munson this afternoon from 2 to 4. It's the Dogs take on Tech from 1992. And then Jeff and Chris will break it down, the postgame show coming up at 4 o'clock, the first hour of the home team. And certainly excited to have our next guest from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the AJC, and the AJC.com. Longtime columnist Mark Bradley joins us. And Mark, good morning. Thanks so much for taking some time. How are you today?
Good, thanks. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, good to get a chance to talk to you again. And this has been crazy. What's been the, you know, I know you're used to, you know, going to games and writing about outcomes that we don't know. What for you has been as big a challenge as anything else over these last couple of months?
Well, it's, you know, so much of what we do in sports is result oriented, and there are no results. and we're looking ahead to Memorial Day. That's usually a pretty good time to take a look at where things are in the baseball season. It's kind of the quarter mark of the baseball season. You know, there's Memorial Day, there's the 4th, there's Labor Day, and then there's the end. But now there's, you know, you look on Memorial Day 2020, and everybody's 0-0. And it's just, you know, I've said this before, and I don't mean to be totally sophomoric or repetitive, but, you know, on March 1st, could you have imagined we'd be sitting here and nobody would have played a baseball game yet? That the NBA would have been shut down since the night of March 11th. There'd be no Final Four. There'd be no NCAA tournament. There'd be no Masters. There'd be no Kentucky Derby. There'd be no Peachtree Road Race on the 4th of July. That's already been decided, too. It's just, you know, to use the word that 100 billion people have already used, I mean, it's an unprecedented time, and none of us has ever seen anything like this, and I doubt seriously that we ever will again.
Talking with Mark Bradley from the AJC.com, and what have you, I mean, how have you just had to, like you said, we're not here on the radio talking about outcomes. We find right. ourselves more speculating than anything, and I kind of sometimes hate
yes,
to do that.
Do.
Yeah, I hate to do that sometimes because that's what it is, speculating. Do you feel like you've been in that same boat as well? You know, and I was going to ask you about your thoughts about what you think is going to happen with baseball, but again, you know, what seems like something right now could be totally different a week from now, so the speculating's a little weird as well. But you know, what are your thoughts on all that, where you've had to speculate more than you know?
Well,
cover?
I've never been, I don't think, what you would call speculation averse. I mean, that's kind of part of the job.
Yeah.
You know, like predict who's going to win the season, or pick a top 25, or pick a Final Four, or pick anything. But that's all speculation. But now it's like speculation without a proving ground, because you pick Alabama to beat Georgia in the SEC title game, and you know, come Saturday night, you're going to know who won the SEC title game. We don't know. I mean, we don't know where baseball is going. We don't know if baseball is going to go at all. We don't. Same with the NBA and the NHL. I would say that my guess would be that baseball is definitely going to try to play. Now, whether or not that will come off the way they think, I think they're going to definitely try, providing the players will go along with it, because they do have to approve. I'm not sure the NBA or the NHL is coming back this year. I don't really see any movement per se on either of those fronts. I think the NFL is definitely going to try to play because the NFL can get away with being a spectator or a non-spectator sport or just a TV sport. College football, I don't know. I mean, I think there are some colleges that probably won't play, and I think there are some that will. But, again, excuse me, so much has changed. So much is changing on a weekly basis that it's hard to look forward. It's hard to look past the weekend to know where we might be next week.
Talking with Mark Bradley from the AJC.com.
Mark, something that Dave and I certainly talked a little bit about yesterday, Bobby Cox turning 79 years old, and you wrote a column for the AJC, and I want people to go read the entire thing, but I'll read the headline to everybody and get you to elaborate. You say, "Happy birthday to Bobby Cox, the best manager we'll ever see." Without giving the whole article away, why do you think he's the best that Atlanta will ever see?
I think those 14 consecutive division titles over 14 division titles over 14 consecutive completed season, that's to use that word again, that's unprecedented. Mm-hmm. We see how good the Dodgers have been here lately. They're halfway to that 14. And they haven't won a World Series in that span either, just yeah. FYI. I just think that especially within the industry, the regular season is seen as the time where you really prove the worth of your team. The postseason is seen as a place where almost anything can happen. Whether it's a blue pit off Freddie Freeman's glove that turns around a game four, or a 10-run inning that blows you out in game five of the playoffs, which we just saw. I mean, it's so much of the playoffs is just down to luck, And I think that electronic surveillance in some cases, but I think those his 15 division titles are just
yeah.
I mean, when you ask somebody in baseball about the Braves, they don't talk about the 95 World Series. They talk about the 14 consecutive, and they just like. You know, they're in awe, and I've talked to some of the best and brightest in the industry, from Tony La Russa to managers of older vintage and today, and they just like, how did they do that? And they spoiled us here basically, because they got really good and they stayed really good for 14 years, which is just unbelievable.
Another thing yesterday, speaking of crazy things that happened in the playoffs, Dave and I stumbled upon, it was Kent Herbeck's birthday, 60 years old now, and that was one of those moments in 91 that just caught a lot of people. You know, I still remember, I was a kid, but I remember it very vividly how angry I was. But what were some of your memories of that and just that 91 season that got those Braves kick-started?
Well, the 91 season is unlike any we'll ever see again, because it was like, you couldn't give away tickets to the Braves throughout the latter part of the 80s. That is not an exaggeration. You could
You're
not
right.
give them away. And Tom Glavin had the most apt description of those days. He said, it's 95 degrees in August and you're 25 games out of first place and there's 5,000 people in the ballpark. And that's it. I mean, they were a forlorn franchise, if ever there was one. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the 91 season, people started noticing them. And by October, everybody in Atlanta had a foam tomahawk mounted in the back of their car. And it was just like, we've had the Falcons go to the Super Bowl twice. We've had the Hawks make some sort of playoff runs. We've seen Georgia Tech go to the Final Four twice. We've seen Georgia go in 83. We've seen Georgia win the national championship and play for the national championship in football. But I don't know that we've ever seen anything quite like the fever that took this city in that year. And if you ask any of the Braves who were around for like the first five or so years of the run, again, they won't talk about 95. They'll talk about 91 and how it just how they'd never seen anything like that.
Mark, it's funny. I enjoyed you'd written a column about, you know, the top five stories or moments that you've been associated with since you've been at the AJC, dating back to the mid '80s. And I was going to ask you, I kind of word the question a little bit differently here. I know as a columnist, as a journalist, you know, you're supposed to, and any of us that work in the media, you're supposed to try to remove yourself sometimes from the story. But when you're around different people a lot, you know, you have friendships and you have relationships that, you know, sometimes that kind of is part of, you know, how you feel about a team or a player or something like that. So I was going to ask you, was the Braves win over the Pirates in October of 92, the Sid Bream slide, was that more uplifting than the Falcons blowing the Super Bowl against the Patriots was a downer? Does that make sense in what you felt as someone covering
those?
I would say that on the
Atlanta sports scale, they are of equal weight. I think they balance each other out. One of them was so, the Braves, if Francisco Cabrera lines the ball at Jay Bell, the Braves don't go to the World Series.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Instead, he hits it in the outfield and they go to the World Series. I believe that was the first time in the history of baseball that a team had gone from losing in the postseason to winning in the postseason on the last pitch of the series.
Oh, wow.
The Bobby Thompson thing was technically the Dodgers and Giants back in 51. That was technically considered part of the regular season, their three-game playoff.
That's right, yeah,
But, that's like, whoa, where'd that come from? It was because they seemed so out of it that night. They had lost games five and six. Game six was a total wipeout.
Yeah.
And they were down 2-0. They hadn't scored that night against Doug Drayback. And all of a sudden, Sid Bream slides in, and the whole place is losing its mind. As a writer, you have very, very limited amount of time to try to put into words something that you know already is probably the greatest thing you're ever going to see. And just from a selfish perspective, I mean, I felt like, you know, you always kind of ask yourself, what happens if one of the teams I cover wins some incredible game? You know, will I blow deadline? Will I blank? Will I writer's block? Whatever. And I will concede that what I wrote that night was not the greatest thing that I think I've ever written or even close. But it did make deadline, and I was very proud of that. I was very proud of that, and remain so to this day. The other one, the Falcons thing is just, you know, I think I wrote last weekend or two weekends ago that I still think about that game almost every day, and I do. Because it's fresher than the Sid Bream game, but it's just like, you know, that one, you were just thunderstruck because if you recall, I'm sure you recall the score was 28-3. still time left in the third quarter, the Patriots went for it on fourth and like three in their territory on fourth down. And if the Falcons stop that play, I'm convinced that they win that game 42-10, but they didn't, and they lost 34-28. And it's like, you know, even if you saw it coming, and you could see it coming a little bit by bit, but I still say that it wasn't until the second two-point conversion that I thought, they could really lose this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, James White is over the line, and you're, you know, Marcus Page said after at the Final Four his Carolina team got beat by Chris Jenkins, you know, you look up and the confetti's falling and it's not for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it that's the way it was that night. It was just like that. Atlanta was that close to a title, and all of a sudden, and the other thing about that night was you knew they hadn't just lost a game. They had lost the game that nobody would ever. They had lost the game that nobody was ever going to let them get away with losing.
Yeah.
That I mean, I think I said it the next day, and I would still stand by it today. I think 28-3 is the most notorious partial score in the history of sports.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
And we call it the worst loss in sports history. I hate that we're dwelling on that game.
It's pretty far up there.
Yeah,
and I mean, I don't think anybody would say, "Oh, you're crazy," because you know I think most people would agree.
Yeah,
I would say now that we've gone through as fans the stages of grief, and that's very real in sports. Now that it's 3.5 years removed, almost. I think I equate the feeling to losing your first love. It's a broken heart. It's not even anger. And I think that'll stay with you forever. Even if the Falcons go on to one day win a Super Bowl, there'll always be that hole in Falcons fans' heart that literally will never go away if you live through it.
It's funny because that game gets replayed on various platforms, NFL Network, ESPN, or highlight clip gets replayed a lot. And I know I've watched every one of them already, and for some reason, if I click on it, I have to watch it again because it's like even as I was on hand, three years later, you're thinking, did that really happen?
It's incredible. It really is.
Yeah.
Mark, out here in Athens, we're obviously a big Georgia Bulldog fan base. I'm sure over the decades, you've gotten your ear full of Georgia fans, whether they love or hate whatever you've written. And one thing that I've noticed about the fan base over the years, and especially true right now, it seems like they're starving for just that national recognition. They want ESPN and all the big talking heads to gush over the Bulldogs like they gush over, you know, Ohio State's and Alabama's and Florida at times over the last couple of decades. And even right now, where Georgia fans are convinced this thing is in the right direction, it seems like when you look at the preseason, this and that, there's Florida popping up. There's other things that are taking respect away from a potential Georgia team. Is it going to take a national championship, do you think, before the big-time media does give Georgia that kind of respect and Georgia fans can kind of settle down a little bit?
Well, I think the big-time media, if you're talking about the national media, I think they would, most of them would concede that Georgia's one of the top five programs in the country. You know, you've got Clemson, you've got Alabama, you've got Ohio State, and you've got Georgia right there. You know, LSU was obviously an unbelievably good team last year, but they certainly, you know, they weren't unbelievably good in the years before that, and they probably won't be again this year. I think the respect for Georgia is pretty great actually out there, but I also think it's one of those things that, you know, you can never say they're there until they win their last game, and you know, and not the Sugar Bowl over Baylor. They were as close as you could get in twice against Alabama, and it didn't happen. And I mean, even going back to 2012, I mean, they basically lost a national championship semifinal to Alabama. So I think that it's one of those things that, from a national standpoint, all Georgia needs is to win the national championship to be afforded the same status as Clemson and Alabama, but they just haven't yet.
Mark, thank you very much for taking some time. Hopefully we can do this a little bit more often. Love getting your perspective. And, you know, like we were talking about some new terms that everything's, you know, gotten to now, the new norm and all that stuff. But eventually one day we'll have something to to talk about where we don't know the outcome. I know NASCAR's getting going again and that kind of stuff, but it'll be good to see some team sports eventually whenever that happens to be. But do appreciate you jumping on with us and look forward to seeing what you got for us at the AJC over the next few months and everything there. So thanks again, Mark.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right. Mark Bradley from the AJC, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and the AJC.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.